Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone together. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew です。日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom, my sisters. Bless you to everyone listening tonight. Thank you so much to our followers, our subscribers, to the saints of the Most High, to the beloved women and daughters of Zion. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. Welcome to another show. Hallelujah. We've once again been given breath of life, and I thank the Father for it. Mother Jennifer's in Georgia. Let's hear from you. Let's get a sound check. Give me some tens in the chat room if you hear us both. Thank y'all so much for tuning in.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley. Blessings to all the daughters of Zion. So good to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. My name is Mother Jennifer, and I am in Georgia. It's good to see all of you in the chat room. It looks like we've got tens coming in. I hear you very well, Sister Ashley, and I pray that you can hear me. And if everything is good on your end, we can move forward.
Hallelujah to my sister in the chat room who said, I need my sister to sister tonight. Thank you so much. Bless you. Very humbling. Hey, we got some countdowns already. I got Feast of Trumpets is September 25th. If you don't have a calendar, September 25th. Day of Atonement is October 4th. and Feast of Tabernacles is the 9th through the 16th. If you're coming, let us know and pay close attention to Pastor's updates or any of his shout-outs and things that he gives, of course, on his channel about calling in, about when you can come, land being open, and all that kind of stuff. Hallelujah. Well, Jennifer, any announcements from you?
I just want to say that stay tuned for the Be a Blessing list. We will be putting that out at some point. We know that it's difficult to, you know, get the things that we may have gotten in the past. So the earlier we put it out, then the more time that you'll have to prepare. So stay tuned for that. Time is going by so fast, Sister Ashley. It seems like we just put the Be a Blessing list out for Last Tabernacles, and we're almost upon that time again.
Hallelujah. Yes, always counting down. Can I get an all praise of the Most High? Yeah?
All praise the Most High, yeah.
Gigi got to come tonight. Nice to see you smiling. Yes, Gigi. Hallelujah. Diana's here. Shout out to North Carolina, right? To your mother, your father, and your family, right? She got a big smile on her face. I'm glad my chair has wheels. I roll back and forth to my crowd a lot, my audience. Nadia says shalom to mother. Granny Barb is here. Granny Barb is here. Hallelujah. Granny Barb has a recorder. This thing is so faithful, huh? You probably had a few, but I'm telling you, it's an Olympus recorder. It's a tiny device. It has a, what, how does it record? Just by memory right now. Does it have a card in it?
No, ma'am, it doesn't.
No. Audio digital recorder. It's very small, kind of like a air conditioner remote or something. And she's had these since I met her, right, Granny Barb? She has recorded and been able to play back all messages just instantly, you know, rewind, fast forward. Like, she would sit in the dining hall at the edge of her table every preaching from Pastor every day and then just be able to repeat that when it was over. And I would listen to it with her. That was, like, before I came here right at the verge of compact discs, like CDs. Seriously, I came here when they were still doing tapes, right, Granny Barb?
Yes.
She said I knew every song on that digital. Yes, line by line. Me and Granny Barb spent hours together. And so here it is, snuck up into my show tonight with a little orange light on, ready to record our show. Mother Jennifer, true story to everyone listening, all praise to the Most High, Yah. And I'm going to jump to Mother Jennifer. You go right ahead and give your praises to Mother, please.
I just want to acknowledge the Father for just keeping us and loving us and everything, every situation, every battle that he exposes us to is always for his glory. He's always walking with us, never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And everything that we go through is never in vain. So I just want to really acknowledge him for his presence in my life and just really teaching me and allowing his maturity to just be in me during these things. And just want to really encourage the Daughters of Zion. You know, this week I've had many conversations with other Daughters of Zion, and, you know, a lot of the women are going through a lot. And I just want you all to stay encouraged and know that it is the Father who is allowing you to go through these things, because you'll be able to actually minister to someone else once you overcome. So just stay encouraged and stay in his love no matter what. Never, ever leave his covering. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, who selflessly serves the saints. Day by day, I never hear a complaint. You know, he's always thinking about Israel, always working for Israel. Always, Israel is always on his mind. So the manifestation of his love for the Father is the way that he serves Israel, serves the people. So it's an honor to really learn from him and to be his Ashaya, to really get to understand and learn his mind, to understand and know, you know, his maturity, and to be able to change my thoughts and my patterns and my behavior to please him as it is pleasing to Yah. And to our shepherd, Pastor Dow. You know, our man of Yah, Pastor Dow, you know, think about what I think about when I think about our shepherd is how he has for 30 years, over 30 years, lived this way, lived this faith, and, you know, taught so many others, just really bringing in so many others into this way. And he never, ever gets tired of teaching the people. I saw a video that was put out, I believe it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, on, it was very practical, on the things that need to be done, 16 things that you need to do to prepare. And I was looking through the comments, and the people, you know, that were commenting, not necessarily people in the faith, but they were so thankful for just having such tools, you know, such wisdom at their fingertips. And so to a man who is, you know, all things to all people, it really is an honor to just have a man of Yah to follow. So blessings to you, Pastor Dow, and thank you so much for your endurance, and thank you for loving Yah, and thank you for being obedient to Yah no matter what. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. Praise Yah for each of your endurance, chiefly, of course, Pastor Dow's endurance. Shout out and blessings and great double honor to Deacon Bell. Keep him lifted. He's on crutches and been down for, I don't know, a week and a half or so. Of course, he's gotten prayer. It's his knee. About 2 years ago when he went to the chiropractor, they, you know, it was a torn meniscus. He's had prayer over the years, and it's always been strengthened. So he is very hopeful and full of faith that once again, prayer will be the answer. Hallelujah. So thank you so much for keeping him lifted. But Mother Jennifer had brought up her heart, which was a lot going on for the Daughters of Zion, and I immediately think of Isaiah 4. It says, "It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, he that remains in Jerusalem, shall be called holy." All right? Some will be left and some will remain, and we will be called holy. But it says, "When the Most High shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof," by what, Most High? How are you going to do that? How are you going to purge and wash away the filth from the daughters of Zion? Verse 4 says, "By the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning." And he goes on to say that there'll be a place of refuge, a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and a covert from all storm and from rain. And that's a beautiful promise. And most definitely, he's doing his work, and it's by love. It's by love. Hallelujah. I glorify him, magnify him for all the purging and the washing that he's doing in each of your hearts. The land's beautiful. The land here is beautiful. There's a lot growing. It's never been more balanced in the work and the downtime. And even when I say downtime, it is cares for your house or your children or other duties. There's never a time where something's not going on or where any of us are lazy by nature. But most definitely, it's beautiful to have come to this place, because in the beginning it was many years of, you know, push, press, work, you know, work, sleep, pray, and really now it's just this really well-rounded balance, at least for my life, to the things that are delegated, taken care of, responsibilities, the land, the beauty of it, the prayer life, everything, at least for me, has gained great balance, and I give the Most High glory for that. Hey, so true story, as I was going to say earlier, true story. A lot of times for shows, it may appear or sound like we have hours of study time. It's never been the case. Now, I do personally have my own studies and what I do. Mother Jennifer has her own time and studies and what she does. But a large majority of the time, at least for the past year or two, the conversations that we have, the shows that we have, come within the last few minutes, or they come within the last, you know, hour before the show. You know, I'm in here. Sister Sakina will usually come pick me up 99.9% of the time, pick me up at my house between 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I'll run up here to the tabernacle, and I'll just have my wheels turning and, you know, communicate with Mother, or I'll look forward to throwing her into something that she's not aware of, too, because she's good at that. And so I want to be honest about that, because that's the flow of our show. That's how we do it. That's our dynamic. It's not the, you know, educational podcast of the world where everything's perfectly lined up. This is just who we are. This is our hearts to your hearts. And so thanks to everyone listening. Tonight, I have some clips. I tried to find clips, came up sometime around 4:40 or so, tried to find clips concerning the fight, the war, the battle of our mind, demons, devils. I did honestly want to talk about fear, but I seem kind of blank. I do not mind your questions tonight in the chat room, please, if you have deliverance questions. Usually Sister Sakina will keep an eye out for questions that pop up or conversations that maybe I need to cover if I haven't seen it. So I want to start off with a Pass It Out clip tonight and really invite and entreat all of you to join in on a war that I've been a partaker of from day one. How about you, Grandma Barb?
Yes, ma'am.
It's a war, huh? And you don't typically see a lot of individuals come from a passive background and a passive mind to now an aggressive warrior for the Most High. So I entreat you, if passivity has ever been an issue, laziness, lethargy, lack of discipline growing up, childhood, you know, discipline issues, I entreat you to be on that list. You know, I personally thank the Most High Yah for my background, you know, in my life, my commitments, and the things that he had me continually involved in. I also thank the Most High for Pastor's military experience, for example. You know, those things are very paramount. I'll jump to you, Mother Jennifer. Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, I want to say, you know, you talk about your background and when you first came into the faith. I remember you sharing that you got deliverance frequently, like very, very frequently. And I remember hearing your testimony when I first came into the faith, and we were doing the same thing as a community when we first started Straightway Georgia. We were getting deliverance almost daily, you know, and we were studying about spirits, and not only for ourselves, but for our sisters and our brothers. And, you know, it wasn't just about us. It was just a very selfless time. But it's something that, you know, you start to look back on your past, your background, and you want to be very different from that. You know, when you come this way, you want to forget all about the old woman that you were. And when you finally realize that there's a tool called deliverance out there, then you start to just really take everything in. And like Pastor always says, you know, he doesn't see the same thing taking place now. You know, nowadays he doesn't see the same thing taking place. And it is true, but we were very zealous when it came to deliverance. We were just on fire, you know, and we still are. We're not lacking that fire at all. We've just, you know, we've matured in a lot of areas. We've gained a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge in the area of deliverance. But, you know, it takes you to really learn about yourself and the things that you need to turn away from. And it takes a lot of humility if you don't have understanding to go to another sister and to trust her with helping you in those areas. And it also takes a lot of humility to take it upon yourself to get deliverance so you can get the experience and you can study so that you can help someone else. Sister Ashley?
Yes, Yes, I've had so much deliverance. I still get deliverance. It's something that I will never stop doing. No, I've never had to backtrack and revisit things over and over. But you do, you know, really put your nose down and your knees to the ground. And, you know, there is a terror of the Most High Yah that we need and a fear of him that we need. And you gain it through your relationship with him, through him revealing unto you how he sees you. If you are getting deliverance, you would exude humility, love, and servitude. You would serve more, love more. You wouldn't want to be seen or heard. You wouldn't want to shake your tail feather. Wouldn't want to get a lot of looks or proud, haughty attention. You know, so there's a lot of fruit that we should bear as sisters if we are getting it. And most definitely, all praise to the Most High Yah for those of you who are. One here or there, or a couple studies a year, or a deliverance every 6 months, that's doing despite to the spirit of grace. That's actually rejecting your Creator who came and died for your deliverance. That is a way that we reject him, by justifying our own actions and deeds and refusing to get free from the guilt that we actually bear. So yes, I've had lots and lots and lots of deliverance. And one thing that, you know, that's beautiful about getting deliverance is you become a great helper, very merciful and compassionate for other people. And then when those who come along need it, you have no hesitation to pour out your love. If you have hesitation to help others, then you most definitely aren't getting enough yourself. You know, because those who are desperate and hungry for deliverance don't mind turning right around and giving back to the Most High Yah. And so, hey, I got some clips. Let's go there. We'll see how this show really builds and connects, even if the clips are just conversation pieces. All right, first one is 7 minutes, and it is from a Sabbath service in 2015. It was on Straightway Tech Team. It's 11-23-13 for some of you who take notes or go back and listen. Battlefield of the Mind is part 1, 2, and 3 you can find from Pastor. Hallelujah. And so, you got a question already? Good. All right, I'm going to play the clip and gather any questions y'all might have. Here we go.
Battlefield Mind. Good little pictures in it. Thoughts. Thoughts. Satan injects thoughts into our mind to make you think the thought was originated by you. And he uses the I. You ever heard of the I in you when you're thinking? That's why you have to learn how to, you know, you've got to become very active in this battle right here. Because if you stay passive and stuff, you're going to assume that everything comes in your head comes from you. And that's not true. Everything doesn't come from you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can tell you what comes to you, the things that you choose to do. Uh-oh. Did y'all hear what I said? The things that you choose to do. Because Satan, he can wear you out all day long with thoughts. He can drop your countenance with thoughts. He sure can. He can do a job on you. Whenever Satan is injecting thoughts into your mind, you must rebuke it loud enough for your mouth, with your mouth, that you can hear it in your ear. That don't mean you go around because everybody's going to think you're crazy then. You understand what I mean? You know how this society is. They're going to think you're crazy. But we don't read in there whenever Satan was tempting the Messiah that he whispered to him. Or that he just said it in his head.
Come on.
He actually was talking to him. Words. See, your words carry a lot of weight. A lot of weight, a lot of power. And so,
all right. I'm going to pause that real quick because I'm going to jump to a question that can tie in. It says, how do we get deliverance by yourself if you're not around as much or many of the saints? Maybe you're abroad. Maybe you're far away. We get this often because there's so many of you that listen from a distance. How does that tie into the clip we just played? Well, what do you say? Use your words. Use your mouth. You talk. You speak. You open up. One thing that is a detriment to a weaker vessel, I, Chief, and all of us, is that we will get a communication in our minds, but we won't communicate it to Yah. We will hear and listen to the entertaining voices inside of us, but we will not voice them out loud. So that's step number one when you want to get freedom. You need to actually confess it, talk about it, open up about it, the things you don't understand and the things you do understand. So it's not about silent prayers or bowing and whispering or getting, and I don't mean you got to scream either. It's literally letting the Spirit of Yah do his work inside of you and crying out in desperation, do you hate and abhor the sin that abides in you enough that you would cry out for help no matter where you are and believe that he would free you? That you don't have to have Ashley or Mother Jennifer or a sister sitting right beside of you. In all desperation, in all truth, in all honesty, it's you and your Yah in your room in that moment. Hallelujah, Mother Jennifer.
And this is why it's so important, you know, to make sure that you have the proper relationship with Yah, because your confession is what is going to free you. If you're so embarrassed that you don't want to make the proper confession, then you're going to stay bound. So you have to put yourself in a position where you trust him enough. You know, it may just be you. You don't have anyone else around, but you still have to make the proper confessions that you need to Yah. Regardless of, you know, if you're alone, if you're by yourself, if you get to a point of learning how to make the confessions that you need to make, then you can have gain the proper control over your mind to where those negative thoughts won't be able to tempt you anymore. Sister Ashley.
All right. Another question anonymous says, pondering fear. What about fear in concerns to labor and delivery, right? What about fears of home birth? I'm going to give you my answer, but I don't want to say that everyone has to have my mind, especially if it's not applicable or correct, but I, Ashley, Michelle, Belle, am willing to die. I'm willing to die in home birth and labor and delivery. Now, if you're willing to die, what kind of fear can talk to you? Now you might face a whole bunch of other thoughts like, oh, man, why do I fear death? You know, why do I fear the worst? Well, of course, it's a trust issue. Of course, it's an unknown and an uncertainty. Possibly at any point in your past, you have believed that the Most High was not there for you, because you also believe in your heart that he will not be there for you in this. Now, fear won't say, I don't believe, but it doesn't. Right? So fear will not say, I don't believe you, Father, are going to carry me through this. Okay? Okay, it hurts. Right? It's always over. There's always an end. And most definitely, your Yah is with you. I've been a part of them. I've been to them. I've been with the midwife team. I've been a midwife. I've held living children. I've held dead, you know, I've held stillborn dead children. And from one spectrum to the other, the Most High Yah will not forsake you. His presence, his spirit, his anointing, everything that you want, everything you pray for, everything you ask for, you believe, and it manifests itself. Really, it's a beautiful thing. So possibly just think about your, change your thoughts. As it gets closer, change your thoughts. When you feel the presence of fear, when you hear the presence of fear, you're going to now replace that with your belief of what you know he's going to do, because you ask and because you're his, right? And because he's faithful and because he's always been there. And you just, you know, combat it so that you don't tear, so that it isn't prolonged, right? So that you are really being proactive. Mother Jennifer?
And this is why it's so important to have the right people on your team, your midwife team. You know, it's choosing a midwife is very important. You have to make sure that it's somebody that is very discerning when it comes to the Spirit of Yah, somebody that's going to direct you in the proper way, and someone that you can go to, you know, that you can go to in confidence and tell them what you're dealing with, and they can figure out, okay, what is the root of this fear, so that you can go ahead and get it confessed and get delivered from it. But when you choose someone to be on your midwife team, it's not just about, you know, who you get along with really well. It's not just about that at all. It's about choosing the right person who is truly tapped in to the spirit of Yah. Sister Ashley?
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. All right, we're going back to the clip. Once again, he's one of his last statements was, whenever Satan is injecting thoughts into your mind, you must rebuke it loud enough with your mouth that your ear can hear it. That's what's on his screen as he's teaching. All right, let's go back to Pastor Dow.
You need to say it loud enough to where your ears can hear it. This is why, because it's the way the Messiah did it. Are y'all listening? Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. We understand that, right? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, here it is. The thinking things. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are good. Of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's how you know that your thoughts are your thoughts. Because you're obeying what the word says. It's actually telling you how to think and what to think. Are you following? Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of Yah, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and... See, now I'll tell you what to put on. And see, this ain't fake it until you make it either. This is instruction, rules, and guidelines telling you how you ought to be walking. Well, I don't feel like it. It didn't say nothing about it. If you feel like you put it on, it says put it on. That's what it says. Either you're going to be obedient or not. See what I mean? 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What way is he coming? Meekness and gentleness of Christ. Who in present am abased among you, but being absent am bold toward you. And I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. In other words, when Paul comes in front of you, he don't want to speak with the same boldness he had to get your attention when he was afar off. All right? Wherewith I think to be bold against some. Notice, he think to be bold against some. His think, in other words, I got something I'm going to get to. Which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. And these are the ones that sow the discord. Because they're already thinking that he's walking according to the flesh. All right? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yah, pulling out of strongholds, casting down. And in order to cast down, you have to be active. I can sit back here. I can right now stop right here, sit here for the next 10 minutes, and I can't tell you how many thoughts will just run through my head. And if I just let them run without checking them, are you following me? Pretty soon they're going to affect me. Because those thoughts are trying to chart my course. So if I don't do what the Bible says, I might as well get ready to be led astray. Because one thing I learned about the devil, he don't hardly ever stop talking. The reason why it's so hard to discern that it's him, because he sounds just like you. I told you many, many, many moons ago that if the devil came in your head, you hear what he said, I need to look at you.
Come on, preach.
You'd want a straitjacket.
Yes, sir.
and go to a funny. Send me to the funny farm. You be going to people saying, I'm hearing voices. Yeah. That's what you'll be doing. And you no, you don't understand. I'm hearing voices. And then you're going, well, I mean, we're not going to do like the Christians do. Yeah, we know you're hearing voices. No. You're not hearing the voices I'm hearing. This thing sounds crazy. Well, yeah, the devil does sound crazy. See, we're thinking the way we think. We are thinking the way these people are.
Come on.
How many times does the devil have to convince you to kill yourself before it gets done?
That's right.
And he didn't lift your hand.
Nope.
No, he didn't.
No, sir.
All he did was emit suggestions to your mind.
Yeah.
Like, people do it every day.
Yeah,
now, every day they do it. The pressures of life come. And then sometimes he uses people to help hasten you.
That's right.
Yeah, the devil uses those that are subject to him at his will. And if you're already down and you're already feeling bad, he's going to bring somebody else right in your path to make you feel even worse.
Yes, sir. Come on.
That's the way he does. There ain't too many encouragers or exhorters.
That's right. Come on.
There ain't too many spiritual people. No, it ain't. So as soon as the devil got somebody, he going to come and help you feel even worse. So don't tell me people kill themselves every day. And the Bible said the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. What could cause a man or woman to take their life? Nothing but the devil. They got to be hearing something. And the reason why they're hearing it is because they want the thoughts to stop.
Mother Jennifer, interesting fact about suicide is it's 4 times higher for men than women. Male deaths make up 80% of suicide deaths. That's incredible, right? Another fact. I'm going to go here. It says, as far as suicide by age, men over 65 are most likely to die of suicide, closely followed by second place. Who's second place, right? It could be Africans, Hispanics, Mexicans, women. Nope. Once again, second place is men from the ages of 40 to 64. And then third place, it's not the Hispanics, not the Africans, not the white man. It's the men 20 to 39. They literally hold the top 3 places in suicide. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I would put my finger on blaming women. I really would. Yes, Satan is behind it all, but the woman rides the beast. Mother Jennifer.
Very true, Sister Ashley. And when you look at the society and how women are catered to and how men are just made out to be the enemy, you know, just look at in the court system. Yeah, pretty much a woman is believed way before a man is. You know, a woman can bring an accusation, and people are more prone to believe that accusation than believing the truth from a man. So it is very true. I believe a woman is behind those suicides as well, Sister Ashley. And, you know, I wanted to say, you know, you played that clip, and it's so good. The clip that you played. And this is why it's so important to really make sure that we're meditating on the word, that we have the word in our heart. Because if you are, when a thought comes into your mind that is contrary, you're able to catch it and you're able to understand and know that this does not line up with the word. You know, but if you don't have the word in you, then how can you catch it? You know, you're just going to think that it's just a normal thought, something that is, you know, just something regular that you should be thinking. But you have to really have the word in you so that you can understand and know when something is contrary to that word. Sister Ashley.
Well said. I am looking over my clips and wondering which way to go next. I think I'll go, you brought up accusation. Oddly enough, I have one, I believe, that covers that. Another 7 or 8 minutes or so of our pastor talking. This was posted on this particular one is Straightway Canada website. shout out to Brother Steve and Sister Wenda. Bless you. Tools for Spiritual Warfare posted in 2016. Here we go.
All right. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is from YouTube. This is Pastor Dow. What I want to do here this morning is I actually want to talk to pastors, assembly heads, elders, deacons, whoever you may be, leaders, teachers in ministry. And I think it's something that has probably been in the back of my mind for quite some time, and time just slips and then it comes back, but I need to go ahead and talk to you about this and give you tools for spiritual warfare and things that go on. Let me give you an example. For instance, people come to the Straightway Truth, the ministry. They listen to me. They hear the truth, and they're drawn to that truth. And many people will actually move around the areas because they are finding truth that provides rest for their soul. Their life starts to improve, their character improves, they start overcoming the wicked one, only to come to a particular place, no matter, and it could be here or it could be anywhere. People come, they're all excited, and they're very excited and engaged, and just love the ministry. And then all of a sudden, they get around a few people who outwardly seem like that they are part of the ministry, that they really truly care. But then you watch and see that these people are evil. They plant seeds of doubt. You, as the people, should be able to gauge and understand when someone is not really truly for the ministry, or when people are not joined in one mind. The enemy, the way he operates is people will begin to slander other people for no reason whatsoever at all. And people will begin to express dislikes about other people and stuff in order to evenly affect you. Now remember, when you're drawn to a ministry, you're drawn because of the truth, not because of the people in the ministry. The people in the ministry, 99.9% of the time, are usually no better off than places you've already come from or left. The ideal of the whole fact of the matter is that inside assemblies, commonly called churches, that's what a war is. That's what a fight is. And some people really, truly want to engage in this spiritual warfare. And then other people that they just have it in their hearts to be hypocrites and want to stage play, and they don't have any change in their hearts whatsoever at all. As a matter of fact, they believe that the whole world evolves around them and that people should actually formulate their minds and their structure and their belief systems around what they want. And so herein lies the ugly part of being an Israelite or whatever you be. You have to be careful of the company you keep, because everybody just does not have your best interest in mind. If you have a person over here that is disgruntled in a certain area, that doesn't mean that everybody shares that opinion. What they're doing is they're expressing to you their concerns and their dislikes. What you have to do is carefully evaluate that person, their walk, their speech, their conversation, and see if they actually truly fit the bill. Because the way that the enemy works, the way that the devil, Diablo, the way that he works, the Hasatan, Satan, the way he works is he works through people talking about others behind the back. And they are hoping to plant seeds of doubt. And you have to be careful what you allow to enter into your ears, as well as what you allow into your eyes. Some time ago here, just in the ministry itself, I had a bunch of Jezebels, literally spiritual Jezebels, that you could see that outwardly they somewhat looked the part, and it seemed like they were kind and nice and stuff, but boy, I tell you, if you could have heard the slander and the conversation that they would do to try to discourage others, you're going to have people in the ministry that are not there for the edification, the exaltation, the comfort of others. You're going to have people there that pin in their own challenges. that they are there to actually make people miserable. I can't tell you how many people who have literally come and gone from the ministry, not because of me, the preacher, or the elders themselves, but because of the members, if I can use those terms and be pure, the way that they behave amongst themselves. Because a lot of times people think that we sanction the behavior that takes place behind the scenes, when I can assure you that we do not sanction the behavior of a lot of these people behind the scenes. But that's the reason why we're here in the first place, because we're here to actually improve. We're here to get better. We're here to be sanctified. And what you need to do is be very careful of the company you keep. Be careful of the people who you are listening to. And I tell you, one of the things that the Most High hates more than anything is he that soweth discord amongst the brother, and he hates slander. Pastors, preachers, teachers, and elders, we can't control what others do or do not do when they are not in the assembly. You know, people have lives that they're going to live. But you should up your discernment and realize those who are for the Most High and those who are against it, those who are stage playing, those who are hypocrites, those who are basically an idolater, meaning they make an idol of their opinion. I've seen so many people come and go over the years because of the so-called perceived testimony of those who seem to be somewhat, and they were there simply to wear out the patience of the saints. All of us have to learn self-control, every single one of us. All of us, we're charged by the Most High to be kind, to be tender-hearted, and to be gentle towards each other as Israelites. Some of us are going to do it, and some of us are going to pursue it. Some of us will be sanctified, but others will just simply will not do it because they function after their own book of the law. This is what you need to understand, is that everybody does not have your best interest in mind. While they may seem like they do, everybody simply just does not have your best, they do not have your best interest in mind. If the enemy is going to operate, he's going to operate behind the scenes. Do not get discouraged of any ministry out there because of the people. Keep your eyes and your vision focused straight ahead on the message and the reason why the Most High brought you to those places. Because
hallelujah, that is a good way to end the clip. It is 16 minutes long, and it's very good. Posted in 2016. Father Jennifer, your thoughts?
You know, when Pastor said that people need to up their discernment, that is such a very true statement. And, you know, we have people who claimed that they were with the ministry. You know, they were... they claimed they were a part of Straightway, but for some reason they got offended and they left. And you have to remember that those people were once fellowshipping. They were on the land. They were at the feast. And you just have to really up your discernment when you're around someone like that who has a grudge in their heart. They have an offense in their heart that they have never dealt with. And remember that you're going to attract someone that has the same thing that's in you. So if you have something in you that you haven't dealt with, an offense, a spirit of bitterness, there's something that is unresolved in your heart against leadership, against anybody, you're going to attract the same spirit that you have in you. So you have to make sure that you deal with those things instead of walking around you know, with the bitterness or with the offense in your heart, walking around with that in silence. You really have to deal with it. And if someone is coming around you and they're spitting in your ear and, you know, they're putting negative accusations in your ear about leadership, then you need to make sure that your snitch game is on point. You need to make sure that, you know, you are not afraid to bring that forward. You need to make sure that you are actually set free so that you're not attracting that type of spirit around you. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. And absolutely, before you ever have to even take it up the chain, prove your love first. Prove your love one-on-one first. Elder Rufus had a good blog talk this recent first day, and he mentioned, you know, gossip and slander, accusations, tail-bearing. And if I had had moments before the show to find it, it was the next clip in line for me to pull up. But I think about the verses of our fight. And just like in the beginning of the show, when I said, Granny Barb, has it been a fight for you, been a war for you? Yes. How many years you been with the pastor in the ministry, Granny Barb? She met him in 1998. She met him in 1998. Nadia, were you born in 1998? Really? No. I was wondering.
Really?
Yeah, I was wondering. I don't. 1998. And a young daughter of Zion behind me wasn't even born when Granny Barb met the Most High Yah. So she's been running with Jesus a long time, as the song says, and I'm not tired yet. But when you run, you think about Rocky, right? Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, Rocky Balboa. And he runs the streets just like any other boxer, and he's beating the air. But Paul says, I run, but not with uncertainty. I don't run as though I beat the air. So you think about Rocky, and he's running, he's beating the air. It's like fighting. It's like having the emotions. It's like hearing from the enemy, but actually not ever getting free or changing or being willing to go through anything when the opponent's right in front of you. And he brought his body under subjection. That's what Paul said. He brought his body under subjection. If you know anything about that painful process, it takes, as I often quote, it takes nose down and knees to the ground. It really does. And he says words like, flee these things. Flee what things? Things of the flesh, you know, anger and wrath and malice and ill will and all those things have to flee from you. And that's not someone that's running just beating the air. That's someone literally knocking out the things in front of them to follow after righteousness, to follow after godliness, to follow after faith, love, patience, and meekness. And when someone falls or they waver away from us or go out from us, they may have fought a good fight of faith. Yes, so they think. But when it came time to really fight or resist, they weren't able. And everyone who's stood, you know, from the hub to any community, you've actually stood against things, right? Voices, thoughts, emotions, something, battles, wrongs, rights, whatever. And you think about the faith chapter and the list of things, Hebrews 11, that says, okay, in the faith chapter, what did you resist? What did you go through? You quenched the violence of fire. You escaped the edge of the sword. You were made strong out of weakness. You waxed valiant in your fight. You turned to you turn to flight the armies and of the strangers in the faith chapter. They subdued kingdoms. They literally obtained the promises of Yah and stopped the mouth of lions. That's their testimony. But over here, 2022, what have we done? You know? So you got to say, I made it through it. I made it through my labor that I feared. You know? I made it through my accusations against her. I made it through that. I made it through my offense. You know, Satan's voice, his opposition, he's not going to stop or give up. The devil is real. Hallelujah. My Jennifer.
And I wanted to say, too, Sister Ashley, on the other side, you know, if you have someone who has left the faith, you need to make sure that you are in a position to receive them back if they repent. Because it's all about restoration at the end of the day. So, you know, there's always something to work on when it comes to yourself. It's not about the other person. It's always making sure that your heart is in a position, an upright position, no matter what, so that you can represent the Gem of Yah the way that you need to. So if they repent, if they come back, then you need to be able to receive them back with nothing at all in your heart, and let them work out their salvation and let them show forth the fruit of repentance. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. In this book, Wynne Worley's booklet number 27, called The Principles of Deliverance and Mass Deliverance, you mentioned the word discern earlier, Mother Jennifer, and I just brought a little stack. I got like four books. I brought them just in case, because like I told y'all before the show, I don't know what we're going to say or how it's going to go. Page 11, okay? Page 11, Alex. It says, discerning of spirits is a gift from the Most High Yah. And most definitely, your mind's going to go to a gift, as in isolated to a certain people, only a few. And rightly so, yes. But remember, discerning your own spirit is given to you. So discerning demonic spirits within you is given to you as well. That's where your discernment starts. It says, His grace is absolutely necessary to expose the patterns of demonic activity and help us perfect our repentance and pave a way for deliverance. Absolutely. It says, to perfect repentance, it requires the truth concerning the areas that are in question. Having the knowledge of the workings of a certain spirit and our agreement with the Most High about it will enable us to keep and effectively maintain our deliverance. Okay, so that's oftentimes why the fight is so needed from your point of view, from your perspective. You must learn this in order to keep and maintain your deliverance. I can't free you just because you feel something. So it says, without this understanding, we may drift back into any activity, not realizing any consequences. And it says, with the Most High's help, we can see or discern spirits at work in our behavior, realizing sin in our life. So it is truly the Most High's work that reveals your sin to you and reveals your behavior to you. Though you're fighting for it, though you're asking or begging or praying, though you're walking it out, it is all Him, because He can leave you as blinded as you ever were before His truth. And so it says, most demons, key point, most demons are not easily identified. Why? Because of their very survival depending upon concealment of their identity. In order to stay in you, my job is to hide myself. Okay, so don't be discouraged when something is doing what it's supposed to do, as you seek the Father to reveal any concealment. It is part of the battle. Never be discouraged. Because what happens? When you get discouraged, then you feel rejection. Then you feel rejection from the Most High, and then you reject Him. It's a vicious cycle. Don't fall into that pattern. Mother Jennifer?
And it really puts you in a vulnerable place because, you know, like you said, Sister Ashley, discernment requires obtaining the truth. Like, you have to obtain the truth and able to properly discern. And, you know, like you said, it is the Most High that is going to reveal this. It has nothing to do with you on your own. It is Him. So you really have to be vulnerable to Him and listening to Him and you know, just really understanding the unction that He's putting in your heart. And it's not a time to be prideful. It's not a time to be in denial about the things that He's showing you. And in order to properly discern, you have to first learn how to discern yourself. It's not set up for you to just be able to discern wickedness in everyone. And it's not even about just discerning wickedness. It's about discerning, you know, good and evil. It's about discerning you first and then discerning others. So there's a balance to everything. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Next clip from a Sabbath service on Straightway Tech Team's website 2013 called Battlefield Mind. Okay, this is part one. Here we go.
Satan attacks us in three dimensions, spiritually, mentally through our thoughts, and physically. The three types are mentally, emotionally, through our thoughts. The accuser uses the avenues. Look at this. Satan accuses Yah to us. You know he actually has demons that go straight up there to the throne and start bringing accusation against you?
Yes, sir. That's the word.
Y'all remember the book of Job?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Job didn't know what was going on.
Nope.
He minded his own business.
Yes, sir.
Job is. He didn't know what was going on spiritually in the eternal kingdom.
No, sir.
All he know is one day he got all his hell going on in his life.
Amen.
And he was a righteous man.
Yes, sir.
But they did believe the book enough that when all this mess started coming upon him, what did you do?
Yeah, that's right.
And then how they responded?
Yes, sir.
I didn't do nothing. It just happened.
Come on.
The devil went and accused Satan, went and accused Yah, went and accused Job to Yah.
Amen, sir. Yes, sir.
Satan accuses others to us.
Yes, sir.
You ever sit back and had accusations flying in your head against your brothers and sisters?
Yes, sir. Come on.
You ever done it before?
Yes, sir. Hey.
Nobody don't want to answer, but it's the truth.
Amen.
This is how you start a crossfire.
Amen. Yeah. True.
Yeah, it is.
Amen.
This is how you start a crossfire.
That's
right. So, man, this accuser is really living up to his attitude and spirit, his nature.
Amen.
He accuses us to Yah, then he accuses us to others, then he accuses us to ourselves.
That's right.
There's a lot of accusation going on.
Yeah,
huh?
Come on.
All right, Mother Jennifer, your thoughts?
Sister Ashley, I remember Elder Rufus saying something a while ago about accusation, and when the devil brings an accusation, he said, you know, he was speaking to me. He said, you know, beloved, the devil could really come to me and speak to me and say something about you that is an accusation. And he said that accusation might be true, but because he brought it, I won't act on it because he brought it. And, you know, when he brings an accusation, it's in unrighteousness. It may be true. So he says that he would deal with that first instead of acting on an accusation that Satan brought, even if it is true. So, you know, that is some of the soundest advice that that I've been given from him, because we know when the devil's speaking. You know, we know when he's bringing an accusation about someone. And it might be true, but it doesn't mean that you act on that right away, because it's in unrighteousness. Sister Ashley.
One of my, I guess, repetitive, not in vain, but repetitive conversations with the Most High when I enter into prayer, that I must say I learned by praying with Mother Carol, but at the same time, I'm not going to say my words are her words. I do ask the Father to forgive me for every thought and every accusation and all ill will that has occurred in my mind that is contrary to him. It is a necessity for me, and I share that with you, because perhaps you don't consider it. Perhaps you let entirely too many thoughts fly under the radar without the blood of Jesus, and your thoughts come from your heart, and you will manifest your thoughts. And, years ago, Mother Carol was the one that taught me to repent for thoughts. Not just actions, thoughts. And this is when you cultivate a relationship with the Creator. This is when you're real with Him and vulnerable to Him, not surface level, right? So it's a part of my everyday, always conversation with the Most High Yah to rid me of the things that are not like Him at all times. Hallelujah. And you might not know the source of the thought. It doesn't matter. It was introduced into your mind because of the weakness of your heart. So you don't know, is it a spirit? You don't know, is it you? Is it indirect living in you, or I should say, is it direct living in you or indirect trying you, tempting you? You may not know all that. Don't overthink it. Just repent. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Just repent. And don't be set on making excuses. You know, the Most High doesn't want to hear all that. He just wants a spirit that is righteous and wanting to be right, and make the confession so that you can be cleaned, you know, that you can be cleansed and you can actually be used for him. Because if you have these things that are blocking his spirit from using you, then, you know, you're going to allow this stuff to just, you know, the sin to continue to build and build and build. And then you'll wonder how you got to this place one day. It's because you haven't repented. You know, you wanted to make excuses for all these actions because you felt like you needed to defend yourself. So just put down all the pride and just really humble yourself and repent before him. Sister Ashley?
All right, another question, Mother Jennifer, anonymous from our crowd, would be, how do you change a nature? What are steps in changing a nature about yourself that you see, you're aware of, you hate, maybe you don't know the depths of it, whatever the situation may be, a mindset that you know you have, that you're revisiting perchance? I know I'm adding to the question, but what's some of the steps you would take or that you would send a woman on to make great change in her mind?
The first step, of course, is acknowledging it. And, you know, second, I would, you know, I remember Pastor Dow telling us this when he came on the show. I think it was about a year ago. He talked about forgetting the old woman. So if you see a nature that pertains to the old woman, you know, that you used to be, you really literally have to forget everything about that old woman that you used to be, and put yourself in a position where you can properly repent, that you can get the deliverance that you need. You need to make sure that you're breaking all ungodly soul ties with those who might bring that nature or that character out in you, even if it's someone in the faith. You know, break those ungodly soul ties. Make sure that you expose yourself to mature, godly women for purposes to hold you accountable, somebody that can help you in your growth and somebody that will actually call you out, you know, if you're repeating those same patterns, somebody that's going to strengthen you, somebody that's going to see areas where you cannot see. So those are just some basic things, Sister Ashley, when you're trying to change a nature within yourself. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Stop the activity in the flesh, basically saying everything you're saying, Mother. Stop the activity in the flesh. It will remove it from your will. Then you can see how much it controls you. Or are you, you know, controlling it, which is what you want to eventually take place, that you're stopping it. And you have a pattern of stopping it continually, 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 resisting the nature, resisting the devil, it will flee. Yes, incorporating deliverance when necessary, and constantly being vulnerable to the Father of the wickedness inside you. I couldn't imagine the Father's ears being filled with all of our opinions of someone else. Like, it would just be disgusting. Like, I need you to talk to me about you. You will be the only one standing before me when I cover you with my blood and give you a crown of life or not, right? So all these tools that I've used to perfect you are not the issue. I'm trying to get you to the heart of you. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the Straightway Help Me channel. Just recently posted, We Don't Hate and Abhor Sin Enough. Great Sabbath message. Great Sabbath message. But why I'm pulling it up is because, hey, when you want to change a nature, or you want to, you know what? This question also comes from someone who has gotten a lot of deliverance. That's very important. You come into the faith and you want to change a lot, but you will not be successful without deliverance. Okay, so that is like first fruits, partaker of first fruits. You have to get deliverance. You can't just combat natures without deliverance. You would be as one who runs and beats the air, really. All right? So you got to make sure you hate and abhor it enough to resist it enough to stop the activity in your flesh, okay? Let's go to this clip from our shepherd.
That the Messiah is still, every time we get delivered, every time we get healed, every time we get set free, do you know he's still taking on all our infirmities? I mean, if maybe if you explain it like that, maybe it'll become a little bit more personal. Every single time you get delivered, every single time you heal, he himself bearing all of this by his blood. Boy, you thought that would have went deep into the soul on that one, huh? Huh? Every time we get healed, he's bearing all of our sickness. He's taking it all upon himself. Just keep on crucifying the Son of Yah afresh. Huh? You just got to ask yourself, how long are we going to put him to an open tank? So Messiah is healing everyone that comes through his path. Casting out devils to everyone. Healing all their sicknesses. All their diseases. You hear that, right? So you know what he's doing, right? He's taking on all the sins of the people. So when the Most High lifted him up, had him lifted up, and that beating that he took, Yah was giving us a firsthand account of letting us know of what he thinks about sin. And even his own son bearing that sin, he still didn't spare to let us know what he thinks about sin. So while Yahshua was walking around on his earth and he was healing everybody, all he's doing was loading himself up with more sins. Loading himself, even though he himself got no sin. Don't tell what the prophet say? He himself bore in his own body. In his own body. See, this is the reason why we need preaching. So while he was being whipped, all the way to the mount where they impaled him, Yah was giving us a first hand of what he thought about sin. A first hand account. Even to the point that the Son said, my Yah, do not forsake me. And what did Yah do? Sin has got to become that detestable to you. In all forms, in all shapes, and in all ways. And I'm telling you, our problem is Israel, we don't abhor and hate sin enough. Not like the Father does.
Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, it is true that sin has to become detestable to us in all ways. It can't be that we want to have relief for the suffering that sin brings. You know, you can't just want this temporary relief because you're struggling or you're suffering because you put yourself in a position to carry on this sin. And like Pastor said, he still takes on and bears our infirmities, and it does make it personal when you hear it that way. You know, there was a price that was paid for the blood that we have access to today, and the only thing that separates us from that access is us. You know, it's our flesh, because when you remember, the Most High said that nothing shall separate us, but you can separate yourself. You can remove yourself. You can put yourself in a position where sin is not detestable to you in all ways. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, let's hear a song. It's beautiful lyrically. It's about the heart of the Father. And most definitely, I am still learning the heart of the Father, but you get so much victory thinking like him and not yourself, you know, really, really denying your own thoughts. And I just bless his holy name. I have great, great peace because he's taught me his mind in so many areas, and I look forward to finishing my course with the Father. Be right back.
I've never known a love like yours. So intimate, so powerful. And I've tasted, I've seen, and nothing comes close. I've never known a love like yours. Jesus, your name.
Your spirit guides me to the heart of the Father. That's a deep thought. I honestly love gaining my answers from Yah, from my Creator. It doesn't feel good when he removes, you know, vessels from your life. In a sense, you're not getting your answers from others. You know, when you're seeking and it's just you and your journey, he's going to show you how jealous of you that he is when you have to seek him, and you have to lean on him, and his spirit will really, truly guide you to the heart of the Father. You'll get your answers, and they will touch your soul, and no man or woman can do that for you. And everyone that you have in your life has a perfect place and a role, whether they're a tool for you and your perfection, or whether they're your pastor delivering the word. But most definitely, you can't neglect crying out and seeking him for the answers for your own deliverance. I just I couldn't imagine neglecting that area and really making excuses to not get free over and over again. Shout out to your mother, Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. And that place, when you receive your answers from him, it may be an uncomfortable place in the beginning, but, you know, as you start to grow and as you start to understand and as you start to really walk through things, and like you said, you know, no one else has the answer, but Yah starts to reveal those things, it doesn't become as uncomfortable as it used to be. You know, it really is a good place to be when you know that he has the answer for you. Not saying that you'll never go to anyone else to get wisdom or, you know, to get advice, but there are some things that only he is going to be able to answer for you. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let's finish out our clip from part one of Battlefield Mind. Here we go.
The first accusation. Y'all ready? This is what he'll say to you. Yah doesn't love you. Give up.
Give up.
You're a failure. You ever heard that in your mind? You ever heard that in your mind? Well, Pastor, I really don't want to incriminate myself. I'm just trying my best to hold my personal resolve.
Come on.
So if you don't mind, I'm just going to sit here.
Come on.
I incriminate myself. He said that to me before.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else? He say that? Anybody else?
Yes, sir.
Now, wait a minute. I'm a different human being than you are. How is it that I hear this and you? How do you hear this?
Come on.
I thought I was the only one hearing this. You heard this?
Yes, sir.
You heard this? But you black. How you hear that? You heard it? You white. This devil ain't discriminating with nobody.
No.
Now, wait a minute. I said I heard that before in my head. Many times. Am I the only one? How are you hearing the same devil I'm hearing?
Come on.
We must be brothers.
Come on.
Never mind.
Hallelujah. How are you hearing the same devil I'm hearing, Mother Jennifer? Go ahead.
Sometimes, Sister Ashley, we're only interested in what we hear. You know, we never put ourselves in the position of someone else, of understanding that, okay, they're hearing accusations as well. But we're only interested in us and what we feel and what's in our mind. And, you know, when you take your mind off of yourself and focus on someone else, you know, you can really experience a level of healing that you've never experienced before, when you put yourself in a position to not be so selfish and focus on someone else. And before you react or before you respond, understand that, okay, if I'm having difficulty with this sister, it's not necessarily flesh and blood that I'm battling. There's a spirit behind this. So she's probably hearing accusations just like I am. If we approach every situation like that before going in, so much better off as women. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. All right. We are going to one of my last and final clips. Back to Battlefield Mind Part 1 from 2013. Let's see what Pastor has to say.
I'll never get it right.
All
this is self-accusation.
Yes. Amen.
But see, he's putting voice in your head, and he's convincing you that it's you that's doing the talking, but it's really him interjecting those thoughts.
Yes, sir.
And then, you know what you do?
Come on.
After you get the thought in your head, then you start looking at people.
Yeah.
To confirm what's already in your wicked heart.
Exactly.
And then rather than just having an honest conversation, this person don't even know what's going on.
No.
But you're hinging on every word without them knowing it. And you're waiting to confirm something.
Oh, bro.
So you go, see, I knew I needed to watch out for them.
That's right.
True.
Then off you go to tell somebody else, that brother over there, he over here innocent, don't know what's going on.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Y'all see the devil?
Yes, sir.
You ain't never done it before?
Yes, sir.
Huh? I heard somebody say something about me.
Amen.
And then you believe it.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
And you know what that does? That causes you to withhold good from them who it's due to.
Yes, sir. Amen. True.
Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, it's easy to project what you are dealing with onto someone else. And like Pastor said, it's easy to think that, you know, someone has said something about you, but really it's just something that you've heard. And then you're looking at the individual and you're projecting what you're hearing and what you're feeling. You're projecting that onto them. And it has nothing to do with anything that they've done. You have brought these things up in your mind and in your heart. So you are the one that's created it. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Next, I have something that is, I got to explain. It's a clip. Curtie Barb, you got to come see this with your eyes. Anybody else out there that wants to see it, you can come see it. So tonight we've talked about the devil, really. How he implements our thoughts into our minds and how real he is in the battlefield to us, how we oppose him and resist him. I'm going to play for you a song that if your children are listening, I'm saying to the children now, children, this song is a lie. This song is not true. This song is not a kingdom song. It's not a song about Yah. This is a song that heathen children are hearing in elementary school, which is why I brought Granny Barbie here. She's, how many years were you a teacher, librarian?
Teacher, 13 here and 10 on the outside.
10 outside of faith, 13 here, 23 years, worked with a lot of hundreds and hundreds of children, okay? This is, as of February this year, this is a song for elementary schools, okay, about Satan. The title is called Satan's Not an Evil Guy, okay? Children listening, if your mother allows you to listen, this is a lie. All right? Here we go. Back there winking, saying Satan's just an imaginary friend.
My mother went to a conference, and that's what they taught her at this conference, a woman's conference, that there was no hell. She came home, I said, Mother, let me show you the Bible scriptures. It does prove there is a hell.
Yes.
But they're being taught that, and look
yes.
at what it's filtered down now, third generation probably, and they're teaching that.
It's
now
true, and a lot, this culture, and Brother Rich was just saying this the other day, this culture really fears death. And when you fear death the way America does, they will formulate hell's not real to provide a safety to themselves that there's no other place that I can go. You can be yourself. You can do whatever you want to do, and then you're going to teach it to the next generation. I can't imagine. These are the martyrs. I'm meaning these are those who will kill our people.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Absolutely.
These children growing up,
yep.
They will have no problem
yep.
coming against the remnant. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I am so, so happy that Pastor advocates homeschool. And it's so important for the mothers to teach their children spiritual warfare, you know, get them involved early on. And they should see you putting an effort forward of getting deliverance. They should see you getting set free. They should see you studying on deliverance and spiritual warfare. They should see you not only getting delivered, but they should see you helping with deliverance. And then you should have spiritual warfare talks with them. You know, talk to them about the things that they're dealing with, the spirits they're dealing with, and let them know that that you can help them be free as well. Because I'm telling you, when you sit in the presence of deliverance, you learn really fast that demons and Satan is real, and hell is real too. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Yes, we rebuke that song and the lyrics and the spirits all in Jesus' name. Yes, we do not agree with it. In the name of Jesus. But hell is real. The devil is real. All right? Now, as we as a people fight against, you know, emotions and behaviors and things, I want to take you, and Mother Jennifer, this is it for me for the show. I'm going to share some quotes from a book. And I'll give you the choice on whether you would like to listen live with me or if you would like to hang up, please.
I'll go ahead and hang up. Sister Ashley, blessings to you, and I will listen from here. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Shalom, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. All right, so I know Brother Steve remembers Judah's broadcast. Y'all have heard me tell the story before. Judah's broadcast long ago was on straightwaytruth.com. You could log in to straightwaytruth.com and you could listen, as well as hundreds or even thousands of other saints. We could all listen to the same thing. It would be preachings, it would be whatever Pastor or Brother Steve had decided, however they worked that out. But previous to that, when we had our own, oh gosh, this was 2007, 2008, 2009, when we had our own AM/FM radio station, Pastor would share what he played on his computer, okay? So before Judah's broadcast, it was Pastor's computer, and he would share, and he shared a particular testimony of a man named Samuel Kanko. And this man is not affiliated with Straightway Ministries at all. I don't mean to support him in that way, but very, very intriguing and interesting lifestyle and past. And my husband has had a book by this man, and I'm going to read from it. Now, this is going to make Satan very real. Those of us who are in the fight, we know it. Those of us who are warring daily, constantly and continually, fighting a good fight of faith and resisting the devil, we know it. We're already in. Our foundation is pure. But it's going to get more difficult for people to believe the truth about heaven, hell, the devil, you know, as Antichrist and as Satan's agenda just sweeps over the nation. Now, of course, we're not worried. The Father, the Most High Yah, will always keep, gather and keep the souls that belong to him. But some of these doctrines are in people's minds. Now, this man had strange rituals that he performed as a young boy, very, very young. He's from Africa. He was, I don't remember how many generations of a warlock he was, maybe the seventh. He was encouraged to follow these secret ceremonies. And it's a very legit testimony because not only does he share what he had to do and what he saw and what he experienced, but he also shared what it was even like coming to Christ and that there was a battle to change spiritual domains. And he says, I tell you, okay, and if I had more notes about him, I could tell you more of his history, but it's not even relevant, but for certain, he says, I tell you that the spiritual realms are certainly real, Beyond the veil of the flesh, there's a world unseen by human eyes, a world seen only when the eyes of one's spirit are opened. It is a world more real than the physical world we live in. It existed even before the world was formed, even before man first appeared on earth. And behind this veil is the world of many evil spirits. Remember, this is me beckoning each of you to get in the fight. Okay? There's a lot of things that he's seen and experienced, and I'm going to read just a little bit of it that is well beyond what we're having issues with. And Brother Daniel said it on his lines then, and pastors quoted it many times coming out of Revelations, the things that are going to be unleashed on this earth is nothing like what you're fighting now, right? The prophet says, how can you run with the horsemen when you can't even endure the footmen right now, right? The time is really, really coming. It says here, the forces of evil move tirelessly to bring their kingdom and Antichrist with him and all darkness into the world. They use human beings as agents to enforce their evil will to influence the souls of men and women. Millions upon millions will follow this ungodly world scheme of devil. These spirits use objects and symbols to draw humans into their world of spiritual blindness. Something to consider in your home. What you allow your children to watch or see. What you allow to play on your TV. Right? Objects and symbols. Okay. He walked through jungles and met spirits. He saw rituals of what witch doctors did. He lived right outside of Ghana. He was taught about ancient demon gods. And the reason I even went to this book this week was I was looking for a quote from him and I found it. But it went right in line with what Pastor was teaching us on Shabbat about how our ancestors, our people, worshipped other gods, sacrificed their children to devils. And so I went to find out his, you know, I went into the book. That's why I went there. So he says, my father taught me about ancient demon gods. These gods are worshipped by priests, priests that burn incense in high places to the idol gods in the mountains of Ghana to this day. Okay, so sometimes when we read the word, it sounds like thousands of years ago. It's actually still happening as a practice, as a heathen practice that the Most High wanted us to abstain from, obviously. He says they burn incense to Baal, the sun, the moon, the planets, and all hosts of heaven. And his father taught him very in-depth about these gods. He says, now as a believer of Jesus, I know that the Most High calls these other gods hosts of heaven, like in the verse Deuteronomy 4:19, lest you lift up your eyes into heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the hosts of heaven, your shoulders will be driven to bow and worship them. You will serve them, which the Lord your God has divided into all nations under the whole heaven. So it's in our word. Okay, so he said, I remember when my father told me the story of how he received demonic powers from his father. So the family members were doing rituals, pouring out certain things, having demonic presences come and possess them. He goes into detail about some of the concoctions and the chanting that happened to descend and possess the worshipers that happened that he actually did as well. And I have, believe it or not, though they may be few, I have talked to sisters within the ministry who possibly are either of African descent or their forefathers that they knew were, and they knew about these powers. They knew about the voodoo that their father or grandfather was involved in. So he says, in Africa, witch doctors can create a actual zombie who is known as the living dead. In America, it's entertainment. But they're not fictional. He says, page 37, the dead body has a blank, glassy stare. A plastic face is filled with terror, and they actually are able to move this dead body. Okay, so that's some power. Now, he also talks about a city under the sea that sounds insane to anyone who's just coming into, you know, the faith or deliverance or just the reality of fighting against these spiritual things. But no joke, my sisters, when the word says woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the inhabitants of the sea, there's a whole nother realm. There's a whole nother realm under the sea, and he's been there. He actually had the power to astral project his spirit into conference meetings under the sea, which was held with great political powerful men. Skipping over, he says, there are many references to devils in Africa, but despite the names worldwide and they're said in different dialects, he says they're described as being, disguising themselves as humans, okay? They live in villages the same as people do. That's their view of them, you know, that they really exist and they have their own places to dwell, okay? He says, there's a spirit, for example, and each of these are in African language, so I cannot pronounce them correctly. One of them, for example, is a spirit that is said to resemble a serpent. It causes an evil eye towards someone, and it causes stomach ulcers as a result. The next spirit, he explains, causes paralysis. The next African spirit, he explains, says it causes alcoholism and also makes the victim increasingly thirsty and eventually insensible, where they cannot satisfy their thirst. These are the ones that are really predominant, I guess I should say, from his area. Also, these spirits he was in control and command of. He could send them anywhere, according to, of course, man's sin. He said the next one was a spirit that caused continual sleepiness and sickness. Next one was a spirit that caused stiffness of joints and pain. The next one was a spirit that caused swelling of the stomach and bloating. The next one was a spirit that caused weakness and doziness in the old, but basically feebleness. The next one was a spirit that caused anyone to trip and stumble often. The next spirit is described as a nature spirit that causes lunacy and madness of the mind. The next one was causes a fever, heat, shivering. The next one is what he says is a female spirit attacking mostly females, causing sores and topical skin ulcers. The next one causes venereal disease. All right, next one, and I'll give you an example like batoy. If I'm saying it right, that's the type of words that, you know, we say in our language different things, but this is batoy, an example of causing things to burn continually. But, okay, so that's enough. I'm speaking from this man's real experience that he says when he worked and functioned under this sort of power, that his motivations were actually void of any human feeling. Okay, this is the type of people that are walking about the earth and multiplying by Satan's hand, by the way. But he says the hearts of the people, the warlocks, those who walk with Satan and do these works, their hearts were hard and cold as ice, and they were full of horrendous hate. So people to them were just inanimate objects. They meant nothing, you know. And they were totally involved in progressing to higher levels in the demonic world, so they didn't care what they had to do. And so as an agent of Satan, it was simply a pleasure to wreak havoc upon any part of the earth, the streets, somebody's house, somebody's car, it didn't matter. And this is the quote, this is what I was looking up, this is how I'll just end the show, but this is what I went to find, because when Pastor mentioned this Shabbat, trends and styles, if you remember, just, you know, his humor talking about mohawks and, you know, the apparel or the ways we dress being also forms of worship to other gods. And it says here, and I can't go back enough or take enough time to explain the underwater habitation that he was able to continually abide in, okay? sincerely, he tells his story that he would take himself to the edge of the water and astral project himself by drinking and eating a certain substance, leaving his body behind. And a evil spirit will come and indwell in his body while he's under the sea. Sounds crazy? I know, but believe me. All right, so this underwater habitation was used to, page 62, in his own experience, and he said his soul would travel there and dwell there for 12 years. Okay? He was this habitation that he would go to see was used to manufacture things to lure people into busy lives so that they will not have time for the Most High Elohim. So he will lure, they're determined, their demonic activity is determined to make you so busy that you won't have time for the Father. It says Satan uses gods of money, perversions, pornography, tattoos, piercings with rings and fashions, and these demons also produce new inventions. There are laboratories in which articles are invented to steal the souls of people. As a result, gadgets are dreamed up here, literally fed from demonic spirits, fallen angels, whatever you want to call them. As a result, gadgets are dreamed up before they ever appear into this earthly world. For instance, I remember seeing personal computers in the early 70s before they ever became popular or exploded on Earth. Computers are now exploding and will eventually replace the telephone and the television. Remember, this was written long ago. It already has. So moreover, the Internet is not regulated. It's going to be filled with evil music, pornography, witchcraft, and evil demonic game sites. I just played a clip that any child could find. So he said, the Internet is Satan's playground. The Bible warns to lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. I'm going to jump in. This is one of the quotes that I was looking for. Satan also invents new fashions to ensnare souls. Think about the new fads that come across the earth, like body piercing, tattooing, or electronics, extreme makeovers, creams, perfumes, cosmetics, beautiful cars, fantasy things to steal people's souls. Okay, and he says if a person goes to a soothsayer, there's a written record that's kept under the sea. There's a book of the dead that he's seen with his own eyes of every sin that is committed to support Satan. It's in that book. He said he mocks and lives everything opposite of the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, may the Most High Yah keep us. In these end times, evil spirits are truly engaging in relentless battles, fighting against forces of air. We know that. The conflict that we see, we shall not fear. If you have fears, confess them. If you have trust issues, confess them. These conflicts that are exploding all over the human race, these principalities, these powers, world rulers of darkness, you already know the number of evil spirits contemplates the destruction of mankind. And they're going to get it done. But it's still all Yah's will. So behind all the problems of the world, behind every evil, all of that is the hierarchy of evil spirits. And we're here as a ministry trying to combat them. I had, just before the show when I was just gathering, trying to find clips and gathering, and I had brought this book up just in case I read it. I was getting back-to-back continual, what are those called, telemarketer phone calls?
Yeah, robocalls.
Robocalls, like unnormal, like no. Back to back to back to back to back, like no. That don't happen, right? Hey, on a good note, Sister Sakina grilled a goat for us this week. And everybody who was talking about that goat, I didn't partake of it this time. It's rare for us to even have a grilled goat because we milk them most of the time. We don't always eat them. But got to throw it out there and tell y'all, Sakina's doing great, cooking great. She'll tell you what she's got to work on. And, hey, right, would you say everything? Everything. You in the war too, Chef? She said, that's it. Hallelujah. bless y'all. Not intentionally putting any fear before y'all with the song that I played or even the book that I read from, but just so you know, there's so much more out there that we're not aware of. We got to keep our nose down, knees to the ground. Hallelujah. Let's go out with a song. Bless y'all. Thank y'all so much for listening. During the ending song, I do still follow the chat room, and I thank y'all for all your hallelujahs. Bless you.
Bye.